Philippians 4:4-13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray together. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit may take your things and show them to us in the face of your Son, our Saviour, even Jesus. Amen. That experiment which I was sharing with the children took place at MIT near Boston, and it reminded me of the story of the Christian who was invited to speak to students at the University of Yale. And he thought he'd be rather clever, since it was a university and a rather good one, and so he took the word Yale and used it as an acrostic and developed a four-point talk on the word Yale. He spoke for 15 minutes on Y, 35 minutes on A, 40 minutes on L, and an hour on E. He was exhausted, even if they weren't, afterwards. But when he was going out, he overheard one student say to another, "I'm so glad that we don't go to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology." I want to say, first of all, a warm thank you to Martin for his invitation to come and share this time of fellowship with you, and a time of ministry, sharing his ministry. It's not an easy thing to do for one clergyman to share ministry with another. So we're very grateful to Martin and have been delighted to come again and to meet some old friends and to make some new ones. In these three Sundays, we've been looking at the letter of Paul to the Philippians and a mini-series on imitating Christ. And we looked at humility, we looked at ambition, and this morning we're looking at beauty. So if you'd like to follow with me, you'll find it on page 1181 of the Church Bible. Pablo Casals, the cellist and composer and conductor, once remarked, and I quote, "Beauty is all around us, but how many people are blind to it?" The fact is that many people take little pleasure in the natural and beautiful things of life around them. And I think our text this morning, verses 8 and 9 of Philippians 4, suggests two reasons that we can look at for considering the beauty of Jesus and the significance of it in our own lives. It makes two suggestions about beauty exemplified in Jesus. And I think the first suggestion is that beauty is something to acknowledge when we see it. thought she was going to come and preach the sermon then. Beauty is something to acknowledge when we see it. Verse 8. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honourable, right, pure, lovely, that is beautiful, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Acknowledge it. I think I can identify at least three areas which we might be concerned with the question of beauty. The first is in nature. And we acknowledge beauty in nature by expressing wonder, awe. Paul in Romans 1 says, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." God reveals himself in nature, and nature, you might say, sings God's praise. The work of creation, as much as redemption, is hidden and can be perceived really only by faith. John, in his vision in Revelation 4, for example, speaks of the worthiness of God to receive glory, for he has created all things. And Paul speaks in Ephesians 4 of God, who is over all and through all and in all, involved with his creation. He's both transcendent and immanent. And to the Colossian Christians he writes of the purpose of creation, to display the glory of God. And as John Calvin once said, nature is the theatre of God's glory. On one side of Niagara Falls is a botanical garden of rare beauty. There's a floral show house there. And in the midst of the exotic flowers and plants, there's a plaque which reads like this, quote, "Enter, friends, and view God's pleasant handiwork, the embroidery of nature." What a lovely phrase that is, the embroidery of nature, the embroidery of earth. I think that's a wonderful way to describe God's work in nature, the embroidery of earth. And I think that might include, as we think around the world, of the verdant rainforests of Brazil, perhaps the frigid wastes of Antarctica, the flowing wheat fields, perhaps, of the North American plains, the vast reaches of the Serengeti in Africa, perhaps even the physical features and the variety of them in the British Isles. We can spend time praising God for the wonderful things that we see around us and see day by day, the embroidery of earth. A second area that we might identify with beauty in mind is character, which we acknowledge by expressing admiration. Now, eight qualities were mentioned in that verse 8. Fix your thought, Paul says, on what is true, honourable, right, pure, lovely or beautiful, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Now, though they're not specifically Christian qualities, Christians are obliged to demonstrate them in their lives. And if we look at verse 5 here, we read these words. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. Consideration, considerateness, be evident to all. And St. Peter reminds us that our beauty should be that of a gentle and quiet spirit, 1 Peter 3. And it's the inner self cultivated by struggles and demonstrated in the power of Christ that is to be admired, that Christian character. There was a British company that developed what it called spray-on mud, and it was designed for city dwellers who had 4x4 vehicles, and they could spray their cars and give the appearance of having been off-road in the country when they'd never left the city. They even filtered the mud so that it didn't scratch the paintwork. And the company said, sales are going well. Going well. Now we smile perhaps, but there's something in each of us that values how we look on the outside. But for Paul, the inward reality was the thing. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's that kind of character that shows the beauty of Jesus that we can admire. Third area that we might consider when we think of beauty is the beauty of compassion, which we acknowledge by expressing gratitude. It was compassion that held Christ on the cross. 1 Peter 2, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. His self-giving enables us to be reconciled to God, but also sets a pattern to follow in our relationships with other people. Thus, we know peace in our hearts and the presence of the God of peace in our lives. Verse 7, we read here, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 9, we read, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God in our hearts and the God of peace in our lives, day by day. These three areas are areas that I think I can identify easily as we think about beauty. And we can be grateful for it. That's the first suggestion I think the passage makes. The second is this, that beauty is something to respond to when we find it. In verse 9, we've just read, whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And it suggests that we can respond in two ways. Firstly, by thinking in verse 8, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Thinking means that we take something into account when we act. And it's thinking that leads to decisions, that leads to actions, that leads to speech. And I gather that in classical Greek, the best word translated for virtue is that word excellent. Whatever is virtuous, whatever is excellent, think about such things. Beethoven was deaf when he composed the Emperor Concerto. He could hear it in his mind, but not with his ears. But the beauty of that concerto came into the external world, and we can respond to it in a way that Beethoven couldn't, because we can hear it with our ears. Leonardo da Vinci stood before a block of marble and was asked, what are you doing? And he said, I see an angel trapped and I want to release it. Something in the mind's eye which they could see or hear with their ears, which then became translated through the external world into the experience, enjoyment, and response of other people. We think and we are affected by other people's thoughts and speech and actions, and we affect other people in the same way. And we need to think about God's beauty, the kind of beauty that we've been considering this morning. But then not only to think about it, Paul says, practice it. In verse 9, he says, whatever is, then the list of 8 qualities is mentioned. Think about such things, whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen, put into practice day by day. Our thoughts do influence desires, and desires do influence decisions, and decisions do mean actions, whether it's speech or actions in fact. How do we put into practice the kind of things we've been thinking about this morning? Consider beauty in nature, for example. Hebrews 1. Through the sun, God created the universe. In the beginning, he laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with his hands. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. To practice, there, we can enjoy and respond by showing wonder and awe at what we see around us and giving thanks for it. And we can then care for nature and care for the environment. What about character? We admire character and Christian character particularly. Hebrews 1, the sun radiates, not just reflects, but radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Practice. We can permit the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, in our own characters, to transform them, to become more like Christ, to see more day by day in us of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That old song which we used to sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We can practice that. And then what about compassion? We express gratitude when we see compassionate acts done by one for another. Hebrews again, the Son became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil. He cleansed us from our sins. By God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God chose to bring many children into glory. He made Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader or pioneer, fit to bring them into their salvation. We sing, don't we? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. We can practice the compassion of Jesus and living our lives demonstrating compassion to other people and caring for other people, whether it's family, neighbours or friends. The practice of these things, Paul says, is important. Bill Hybels, in his book Christians in the Marketplace, tells of a young German called Wolfgang who worked on a building site. He was a Christian, but the only time he found quietly to read his Bible was during his lunch break. And he sat quietly in a corner reading his Bible, and he was laughed at by the other young men working on the site. But as he read his Bible, he prayed that he might find a way of reaching them with God's love. And he hit on an idea of staying behind at the end of the day and cleaning their boots. Now they were rather amused by this, and they laughed at it at first. But they began to respect him because they realized that he was the only one to do it. And as respect grew, so occasionally they asked him to read the Bible to them. And so he was able to begin to demonstrate God's love. But the fact is that it was when they saw his faith in action, the practice of his faith, that they began to listen to his God. And Jesus said to his disciples then and now, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our mission as individuals must lead to a demonstration in our network of relationships day by day to show that love of God. We have a group of people who we know and who know us that other people don't, and they're our special responsibility. Pavarotti, the tenor, once said that he wasn't a natural singer but had to practice constantly. And in a Classic FM magazine 1 month last year, I read these words, that Pavarotti's sound is a feat of stamina, muscle molding, instruction, and daily practice. We witness in his singing a triumph of human effort over nature. Now, one would never have suspected that of Pavarotti, but that's the fact. Practice, following thinking, is vital when we consider the beauty of God and demonstrating the beauty of God. And I think that we need to ask ourselves, perhaps, shall we commit ourselves to doing in our world something wonderful for God, something beautiful for God, and allowing him to do it through us? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the beauty that we see in the world and experience in the world around us, whether it's in nature or character or compassion or other ways. We pray that you'll help us to ponder and meditate on such things and see the beauty of Jesus and pray and allow that beauty of Jesus to be seen in us and through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.